Hello, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Just to Kick It is a Blessing podcast. I am your host, Keith Tupac Gatiramu, and thank you for joining me on this incredible journey. This is the podcast where we embrace life, and no matter what you are going through, no matter where you are, remember, just to kick it is a blessing. Today is a very, very special day. With me, I have a very special guest in studio with me today. And without further ado, I will let her introduce herself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Casey Warukira. Yeah, what else do you want me to say about myself?
Tell us about yourself, what you do, what you're doing, you know, or what you've done.
Okay, well, I like to say I'm a student of life. Presently, I'm an entrepreneur, so I'm in business. I have a marketing company, Visionary Marketing, that we're working together on. And then I also... I'm a licensed health and life coach. I'm in the process of starting a nonprofit called Arise. And yeah, I'm just in the process of discovering myself and walking in my purpose and discovering what that is and committing to that journey. So that's what I'd say.
First of all, thank you for sponsoring the podcast. It's a big shout out to you. And yes, I understand that you've grown between here and America. How's that been for you and how's that shaped your life?
First of all, I want to say thank you for having me on your podcast and for wanting to have a conversation with me. I don't take it for granted. I truly appreciate you for that.
You're welcome.
So yeah, back to the question. Yeah, so half of my life I've grown up in Kenya, half of my life I've grown up in the US. I think it's shaped a lot of who I am and a lot of how I see the world and a lot of how I... see my purpose in this world. I think being in the U.S. I went to the U.S. for the first time when I was 9 years old, and that was a bit of a culture shock for me because it's different. But if I'm to look back at it now from where I am, I think I'd say it's really helped me identify what my life purpose is, because I think at this point in time, I define my life purpose as I'm here to bridge the gap between the diaspora and the African continent through philanthropy, through the arts, and through business. And I think I wouldn't know that if I hadn't had that life experience living between the US and here. So I think it's really helped me understand why I'm here, because I think my exposure to both parts of the world is not by accident.
Yeah. Okay, for the audience today, we're here to speak about growth. And you said you're on this path to discover who you really want to be. So what stage in that journey are you at?
First of all, I think it's an ever-evolving journey.
Cycle.
Yeah, you think you've mastered one thing and then life happened and you come back to the same place. But I think where I'm at the moment is... letting go, like being comfortable with letting go of people, places, things, thoughts, feelings, emotions that just don't serve me, so I can fully step into who it is that I've been called to be. So I think that's the phase that I'm at right now. And I know that I'm there because I keep finding myself back here because I think I can avoid this phase, you know, like, and I'm back here again. So I think that's where I am. Yeah.
And as you go through that, you've said letting go of people, places, and things. Mm-hmm. What has been the painful part of letting go? And what has been the joy of letting go?
I like that question. I'd say the painful part is like, it's when letting, what I'm coming to understand about letting go is like, there's a grief. You grieve letting go of people, especially. Like, that's the part that it is a bit hard for me at the moment, is because it's literally like you're losing a person, like internally what it feels like when you actually realize that people that you really love and you care about, just they don't serve you and where you're going, and having to make that decision to move away and so that you can elevate yourself and then come back and be part of that circle, be it family, be it friends, you know. So I think it's the hard part is like the grieving process, which is why I keep saying like, I came here before and then I thought I could skip it. And so now I'm back because I didn't want to face the grief part. So I think the grief part is the is a challenging part. But I think the joy of it is the awareness that I'm stepping into who God has called me to be, and like really stepping into why I've been put here. And that's the joy, because I want to, like, my goal is to be the best version of myself. And if this is what it takes, then I'm willing to embark on the journey. So yeah, that's what I'd say the joy is.
And do you think that you've come to the realization that you need to let go of the people, the places, and the things? If so, how did you navigate that? And if not, how are you trying to navigate that?
I think I'm coming to that place. I think I'm here. Like I said, this is where we presently are in this very moment as we speak. So how did I come to it? I think being in tune with myself and really listening to how I feel when I'm in certain places, when I'm around certain people, you know, when I'm doing certain things. If I feel like when I leave a place or a person's company, if I feel like I have to recharge myself or like decompress, like that environment or that person is not serving me. Mm-hmm. Like if I have to leave that place and then like isolate myself so I can recharge, I don't think that's how it's supposed to go. I think we're supposed to be in the company of people and in places where you feel recharged, if that makes sense. So I think that's kind of how I'm coming to it at the moment. It's just really being in tune with myself and understanding how people, places, and things are affecting my energy, and then making decisions accordingly.
When you're talking about letting go of people, letting go of places, and letting go of things, is there the fear of loneliness? Is there the fear of like, okay, if I let go of these people in my life, then who would I have in my life? Or are you looking at it like, if I let go, then I'm creating space for other people?
that's interesting. I think I should. I'm making the transition of looking at it like that.
Yeah.
Like you are creating space for more in your life, which is the reality of what's happening. But yeah, that's the fear. That's why I keep revisiting this cycle of life, because it's like I grew up as an only child most of my life. So this was a reflection literally that I was having last week. Like I was trying to understand, why do I have this attachment to people, places, or certain things? And I realized it's because of the weight that I placed on that when I was younger. And so, yes, there is a thought of like, sheesh, embarking on this journey, like walking in your purpose can be a lonely journey. I've seen it from people that I consider mentors, whether it's from online or like, you know, people that I know personally in my life. Like, it's really, and that's why, you know, I think in the Bible, not to quote the Bible, like I read it that frequently, but in the Bible, I think there's a place that says like the road to heaven is like narrow and whatever. Yeah. And so I think how I understand that is like, it's a lonely path for some time until you find your tribe.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think to answer your question, yes, there is an aspect of the loneliness, but it's a mental shift that I'm making to see it as though I'm creating space for the things that do serve me.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that we've talked about loneliness. And I think that's also something, you know, like when I go through my different stages in life, I think I suffer from, you know, that thing of being alone in your head,
mm-hmm.
being alone with like no one to talk to or whatever. But the other day, I think I listened to a podcast and the guy was like, we think it's loneliness, but there's also another definition of being alone,
mm-hmm.
and it's solitude.
Mm-hmm.
And solitude is, you know, it's more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I agree. One thing about me, I love to be in my solitude. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you know me a little bit. So it's like I genuinely enjoy being alone. And I don't know if that's because I grew up as an only child, yeah. so I had to become comfortable with being in my space. But I think I enjoy my solitude because it's so peaceful. I've found, and it wasn't always like that. Let me start by saying,
mm-hmm.
like, I think I had to get to this place of where it is a peaceful environment when I'm with self. Because at one point I would avoid it, you know, for different reasons. But I think, yeah, the difference between solitude and loneliness, one, I think it's a perspective, how you view it. And then I think it's also like the relationship that you have with yourself, you know? So yeah, I don't know if I answered your question, but
I think it answers my question. So what relationship do you think that you have with yourself? That you know you've gotten to that point? Because the other day, I think the same podcast that I watched said that there was a study done and men were asked, actually the group were asked, would you rather be alone in your mind for 5 minutes or be shocked? And most people chose physical pain rather than, yeah. The women percentage was less. The men, of course, their percentage was more. So, again, that kind of brings me to what relationship are you having with yourself?
I think for those that know me, I've been talking about this thing called self-love even before I think I even understood what self-love meant. And I think that's where the journey for me started, is like really truly beginning the journey of understanding what it means to love myself. And I think I'm my best friend, for real. like for real. I'm my dog. Like I love me.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm real with me. So I think when the relationship I have with myself is like, how would I describe it? Okay, in my mind what I see is like I see a higher self and then I see like a younger self. So I feel like I kind of talk to myself as though, like, I like to be in an observer perspective when I'm dealing with myself. Like, I'll take myself out of myself.
Yeah.
if that makes sense. And I look at me from an observer perspective and just have a real conversation with me. I talk to myself a lot. Like, so I'm saying, I'm my boy. Like, like for real. Yeah. Whether it's through journaling, whether it's literally being at home alone and talking to myself. But I'm real with myself. The things that I've been through that may have traumatized me, the things that my internal thoughts that don't serve me, I'll sit with them and be like, okay, where did this come from? Why do I feel this way? Like, I really genuinely have a friendship with myself and a relationship with myself that's rooted in, I want to see me win, and I want to be the version of me that I was put here to be, because I realize that I'm not this body. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Yeah, that's a lot of words, but I'm my boy in short.
It's not a lot of words. you've mentioned self-love and you said you talked about self-love way before you knew what even self-love was. So to you, what is self-love? And, you know, because sometimes I see people have the wrong description of self-love online. You know, they think it's taking yourself for a manicure, pedicure, or solo dates or what. But what's to you, what's your definition of self-love?
I think those are expressions of self-love.
Yeah.
But I think self-love, I think, is what I can't speak to it like I've mastered it, because like I said, it's a journey. But my understanding of it at this point is loving yourself enough to be real with yourself. Like, that's like being able to take the veil off and really look at yourself and mentor yourself, and like, I don't know, being your your best friend. Or I don't think I have a one word definition for what self-love is, but I think one, let me not even get to the whole love concept. I think sometimes we speak of love, but we mean attachment. I think when society speaks of love, or when we say we love ourselves, we don't really love ourselves. We're attached to versions of ourselves that we've become comfortable with, or that have helped us cope through certain phases in life. But that's not love. That's what I realized with myself. Like, there's versions of me or traits within me that I thought I loved, but I'm realizing that no, you were just attached to it because it made you comfortable, or it gave you the tools that you needed to have in order to navigate some things that you have gone through in life. So I think self-love is just being honest with yourself and wanting the best for yourself with no veil. Yeah.
The other day, I think I talked to a couple of people, and like a good percentage of them think they don't love themselves. Why do you think that this generation is struggling with loving themselves?
I think it starts with the one thing that I said. We have confused love with attachment.
Okay.
That's number one. Like, I think our whole idea of what love is not really love. Because when I think about love, I think about, like, love is unconditional, you know? Like, love has no, I love you because of this, or I love myself because I'm this. It's just love, and, like, we are love. God is love, so everything is love.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, one, we don't really have an understanding of what love is and what we've been shown, whether it's through movies or whether it's through family or whether it's through church, is attachment. And we've been shown, especially, I think, I won't go too deep into it, but I think most of us have come from a background of religion. And I think sometimes, especially, I was brought up Christian, especially through Christianity, sometimes they there's this idea that we are not good enough, we're sinners, so we must repent in order for us to become worthy. And I don't think we really pay attention to what that does to one's psyche. And I truly think that that's where the root of that comes from, because in Sunday school, we're sinners. So it's like, if I'm a sinner, how can I love a sinner? You know, so I think that's where it starts from. And then I think it's just, I think social media plays a big role in it, because we look for external validation for it to then justify why we can validate ourselves. So, yeah.
That's actually interesting. I've never heard the one of the church one. That's actually a very interesting, you know, way to look for it. Because especially as a kid, what you're taught between, like, is it 2 to 6?
0 to 7.
0 to 7, yeah. It really sticks within you. Wow, I've never thought about that. You know, I've always just thought about the social media aspect. But I like what you said is love is unconditional. And I think I also saw the other day that when you like a flower, you'll pluck it. But if you love a flower, you'll water it and try and help it grow. That's an interesting way to actually look at things. But well, to social media, so how can someone that's struggling on, okay, we're all on social media. I'm sure that you're on social media as well. So do you have days that you take away from social media? What do you do to stay mentally fit and not be influenced by the social media around you?
Yes. There's a time I was so active on social media. If anybody followed me, there's a time I used to use social media like as my diary and just talk and rant and just go off. And I think a shift happened within me where I no longer cared to really share some vulnerable parts within myself. But I saw something the other day that I thought was quite interesting. It says social media is not for your friends and family. Social media is for the people that need the message that you're carrying to find you. And that I saw that this weekend and I was like, whoa, that really shifted kind of how I see it. Because I think, you know, when we were younger, we had them on Facebook. It was more so a place for, you know, to socialize with friends and things, and, you know, for people to see you in a certain way. Or now it's used for business and things. And I think that an honest conversation that I have with some of my really, really good friends is we talk about how sometimes social media can make you feel like you're less than because you're not accomplishing, because you're seeing what people are showing you. And sometimes we follow people that we admire, people we want to be like. And sometimes the negative side of that is how it can make you feel like you're not doing what you should be doing. So I think, one, really being intentional with who you follow. And this is, as I'm saying this to myself too, and not being attached to the idea that the people, like, you have to follow friends, because sometimes your friends may not be posting things that add value to you. So I think that's something that I'm learning to do. Just recently I started like unfollowing a whole bunch of, like, I don't follow the Mashade Rooms, this G word. I used to, you know, hey, I want to keep up with the tea. I want to just be, I want to see what's going on. But I think I really have become aware about or intentional about the things that I consume, not just internally, but also like what I look at, what I hear. So I think, one, filtering the people that I follow, and then also giving myself a break. Like I go, like I do this fasting thing where I'll delete social media from my phone for like a month. I'll say I'm not listening to any music for a month. And I'll also like, and the idea is like, I'm cutting that off, and just the only thing I'll listen to is podcasts or things that are adding value to me, but I'll cancel out the music and the socials and stuff, because I don't think we really understand how that stuff, our subconscious mind picks up everything. So yeah, that's how I do it.
I know we've strayed away from what we were meant to talk about, but it's okay, it doesn't matter. But you keep on saying, you said your subconscious mind picks a lot on what you don't know, and you keep on telling me that sometimes the music you listen to is a bit dangerous. So what do you mean by that? And you know, tell the people out there listening to that kind of music as well, you know.
Very true. I listen to it, but I believe in this thing about, like, and you've heard me talk about even in business and the companies that we work with, like, being a conscious consumer, I think it's important for you to really be aware about what you're consuming. And when I say that, I don't just mean what you're putting in your body, what you're putting on your body, but we have to understand that these senses that we have are consuming on a daily basis, like what we hear, what we see, what we, you know, touch, what we smell, that's consumption too. And the environments that you're in, and especially music, I don't think people understand the power of music. Music is vibration. Everything is vibration. So if you really think about, like, you know, I'm not gonna, you can go listen to what Kanye West says about this, what the bass is and the what, like, you can go listen to, like, his explanation on, like, the depth of it, and he's one of the people that talks about it. But I think, you know, your subconscious mind doesn't have a filter, it just receives. So if you're listening to music that says, "All my friends are dead, GHG, Molly, Percocets," or talking about gun violence, especially that, like, think about the US, think about how gun violence has been increasing over the last couple of years, and then correlated to the music and what's been put in the music. I even go as far as to say, like, if you look at the generation that grew up playing violent video games, and you look at the school shootings that are happening now, pay attention to the age ranges. There's a correlation to, like, what we expose ourselves to and how that affects our behavior subconsciously, because it's so subconscious. You can think it's so harmless, but, like, your subconscious mind does not know the difference between real and fake.
That's true.
Yeah, so I think that's what I say. It's just be intentional with what you listen to. And I'm just going to add this. When I was younger, there's a church that I used to go to, and, like, in church they tell you, don't listen to secular music. That's all they say. Yeah. And I'm a big person that's, I ask questions. So it's like, okay, my question is why? They don't tell you why, but they just tell you don't. And I'm not good with rules. I've never been, like, if you tell me not to do something, I want to do it so I can figure out why you're telling me not to do it. That's, like, I think human nature. So I think when you step away and, like, try to understand things for yourself, you understand, okay, I get why you're saying this. There's a, sorry, I'm going on this a long time, so you can cut what doesn't make sense.
No.
There's a pastor I'll never forget.
Yeah.
I was in Nairobi Academy, and I went to the church, I can't remember it, but it was right next to the school, and this pastor was giving an example of music and how it affects you and you don't know. And he was talking about how when you're on the matatu, right? And, you know, they're playing music, whatever music it is that they're playing, they could be playing, like, you know, some chill vibes. And he was like, ah, that time you'll remove your fare, you'll give the makanga fare. And, come on, it's like, yeah. And then they play, like, once they start playing gangster music, like, when the guy comes to, like, ask you for money, it's like, now you have, like, a, you know, there's, like, a
attitude.
An attitude that you have, but it's because of the music. So, yeah, I thought that was something that really stuck with me. And I think that was, like, over 5 years ago. But it's just, yeah, the subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's fake. And, like, if everything is vibration and you think about the power of music, it is just vibration in a different, you know, in a stronger, okay, I'll stop there, but yeah.
No, but it's interesting that you talked about music. The other day I saw that, was it Citizen posted something about Gen Z? I think it was a Spotify study for Kenya, and you're saying Gen Z are listening to, like, 80% sad music.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is this why, like, this generation is actually just so sad? You know, that's a lot of number, you know, like, of course there's heartbreaks, you know, there's character development, there's, you know, there's a lot going on. But I was like, yo, damn, 80% is a bit too much, you know?
Sad music? Like, music that's,
like, you know, what's that thing? Or what's that thing called, man? Sad nigga hours.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know. I guess. Well, I don't even know if I want to get into that. But, like I said, I haven't been to Kenya. Like, the last time I was in Kenya was in 2019, right? Mm-hmm. So I think I really started my journey of really wanting to walk in my purpose in, I'd say, 2020 is when it started. Like, that's when I started, like, the health and life coaching thing. And my journey with that is, like, I'm applying it to myself first before I can, like, use or try to tell somebody how to live a healthy life, or, like, you know, like, let me first do it myself so that I can speak from a place of experience so that I can be more impactful. But with coming back after having started my journey, I've really been looking at things from a different perspective, and, like, I see how, what's the word that I want to use? Like, Kenya has a lot of walking zombies, I'm sorry to say, but it's just true. Not just Kenya, but, like, this is home, so I see it and I feel it in a different way. Like, yeah, like, the drugs, the alcohol, the numbing, the it's, and we, yeah, our nightlife is lit, but it's as a result of, you know, like numbing yourself. So I think that's why, because I think there's this whole idea of wanting to be perceived a certain way, especially here, like, I felt it, like, you know, and I think that it has an effect on us in ways that we don't talk about. So music is a therapy for a lot of people. So instead of turning to things that uplift us, we turn to things that relate to us. So I think it just kind of reflects like how guys feel, like, because most people aren't really not walking in their truth because they feel a certain way about how that will be perceived by others, which is normal. But I think it's a thing that needs to be talked about.
Okay, back to what we were here to talk about, man. But it's good that you shared that insight. Yeah. Like, I've also learned a couple of things which I didn't know, so it's good that I got to learn some new things. But back to what we were talking about, how do you deal with letting go of things and places? Might be a bit easy, but how do you let go of people? And how do you approach such conversations, you know?
Man, when I figure it out, I think I'll be able to have a better answer.
Yeah.
I'm figuring it out as we speak. But honestly, I think where I'm at and what I think, and I have mentors in my life that I speak to frequently that also share with me and tell me that it's normal for, like, this is hard. This is why not everybody lives and walks their purpose or like is on a certain path, because it's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. So I think how I'm navigating that is just putting myself first and knowing, like, I think it all starts from within. If I'm being very honest, I really think that everything is a projection or a reflection of you in a way. So I think even when it comes to, like, having, like, I've been debating with myself, like, do I have conversations or do I just make the necessary action and just let things flow how they flow? And I think I'm coming to the place where you don't really owe everybody an explanation. You don't. Because people that genuinely love you will understand. And if they don't, it's okay. I think I'm learning. At the end of the day, I came here solo dolo. You know, when I came from my mother, it was just me. And when I go to my grave, it will just be me. So why is it that along the path, I cannot put me first? So I think I'm just learning to put myself first and to not take it personally. When I'm making certain decisions, or when I'm making certain decisions that are for me, it's really between you and you. I think it's a battle between you and you. We include other people in it because it makes it easier to deal with, because you can point the finger and say no. It's, but when you do this, there are like three fingers pointing back at you. So it's always you, and you being at peace with the decision that you're making. And nothing else. I don't think you owe anybody a conversation, but I think if it does come up. Because I think I was having a conversation with the only person that I call a best friend. Her name is Nigel Owens. And we were talking about this yesterday. And it was just about how when you evolve, you know, people that really care will come and ask, yo, what happened to our relationship? And that's when I think you have the conversation. But I don't think, imagine how many people we've met in our lifetime. Like, people sometimes are in your life for a season, for a reason. And those that are there for a lifetime will be there for a lifetime, because they are there to see you win. And whatever it takes for you to win, they'll support it, I believe.
It's interesting that you've talked about seasons. So today in the morning, I was watching a podcast on just letting go of things that no longer serve you. Mm-hmm. And this lady, she gave, I think, one of the most amazing examples of nature and how nature is... shows you about letting things
go
mm-hmm. that don't serve you. And she gave this example of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she was like, a tree has leaves mm-hmm. to give it, to absorb the sunlight, which mm-hmm. creates energy. And in return, the roots give, the tree gives the leaves water.
Mm-hmm.
But during winter, it has to let go of the leaves mm-hmm. because if the leaves stay mm-hmm. and the tree continues to give it energy or water, mm-hmm. it'll die.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, that's the same with things, people, and places.
Yeah.
You feel like you're overgiving and eventually you will die.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to, you know, let go of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was quite
interesting. That's powerful. So I always say nature is my biggest teacher.
Yeah.
Like, especially trees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to go into that.
Cause no, tell us one thing.
I sound hippie.
No, just tell us.
But I think trees, like, if you think about it, trees last, like, think about how old trees are, you know? And even in African culture, trees are very significant, and we value them for different reasons in different cultures and traditions. But I think trees are very wise in their nature. If you observe, like what you just talked about, like if you just observe, I believe nature is our biggest teacher, and we confuse things by trying to like put words to it. But if you just use your eyes to observe how nature operates, like you learn a lot about life. That's why I like to go on my nature walks or like, you know, be outside and just sit by, especially water. Like it teaches you a lot about flow and how, you know, how to move in different seasons of your life. Like, so yeah, I think trees are just, I really love trees. Like even the energy that you get from trees. I don't know if you guys know about grounding and like there's scientific, it's not just hula baloo stuff, like it's science, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
And how do you tell when someone is no longer needed in your life? How do you see the red flags or the signs? You know, because there are people out there that feel like, okay, one or two people may not be no longer like serve me in my life, but they're not too sure. So like, what are those signs that you could tell them to look out for, to see or to take and to make that decision?
I think, like I said, it's being in tune with yourself and your body. This is the vessel that you came here with, and you came here with it because it has antenna that we sometimes, for different reasons, are not connected with our bodies. But I think if you really pay attention to your body, how you feel when you're around certain people, the energy that people give you. Like recently, like I had, you know, you always have thoughts or feelings, and sometimes you don't want to accept what you feel because it's painful.
Yeah.
You know, but I think when you're real with yourself and you're honest with yourself, it's like, again, our bodies speak a lot. Like I'll give you an example for me, and like even in intimate situations for girls or for guys, like you find when you're uncomfortable, you tense up. Like, your body is just stiff, especially for women, like, you know. And we sometimes don't pay attention to it, you know. And I think so, but just paying attention to, like, your breathing when you're around certain people, your body when you're around certain people, and, like, just the vibes that you get. Vibes don't lie, you know. And I'm big on that. Energy doesn't lie. I may not have the words to articulate what I feel, but I know for a fact I feel what I feel. And never question what it is that you feel, because that's your intuition and God gave you that. Like, that's something that you came here with that is a tool for you to navigate life with. So I think really being connected with yourself and not trying to please and people please others, because that's a thing. I didn't even realize I did that. A conversation I was having yesterday with a friend, I was like, whoa, I realize sometimes I put other people before me for the sake of thinking I'm being nice.
I think that's for everyone though.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And I didn't know. Sorry to interrupt you. I just didn't think that, you know, Casey and people pleasing, I didn't think they were in the same sentence until I really looked at myself and was like, whoa.
I think it's that sometimes it even happens unconsciously. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it happens consciously. Mm-hmm. Like, but you grow from it and you learn from it. I think I also went through that stage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how my parents still have me in that house because, wow, what are the things that happened? But anyway, that's a story for another day. But also, I think, okay, like, personally, for me, I feel like letting go of some people is hard, especially if you've known them for such a long time in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you even pick or lancer? How do you choose someone that's they're going to be there for you for so many years? Because, of course, there's that joy in saying you've known someone since you were 2, 3 or 4, 5. But how do you, like, pick those people? Or what conversations do you have with those kind of people? Or what do you do, you know?
I think I'm learning the art of surrender. Like, when you surrender and when you're no longer trying to live for you, but trying to live for, like, why you were put here, I'm not the one making the decision. It's a higher power that's going to make the decision. Like, I'm just being obedient to my body, to my feelings, to the energy, to my intuition. I'm just being obedient. So I'm not choosing and saying this one and this one and this one and da-da. It's happening naturally by me being in tune with myself and just being obedient to that, I think. And I feel like I said, those that are, I kind of, I guess, I, like I said, I'm in the same place too with like I said, being an only child, and I think understanding like this is different for different people. It's easier for others than some, because I think for me, like I said, I was an only child for most of my life. So I think I placed a lot of value on relationships and on connections that I formed earlier, because like they just meant a lot to me because I just didn't have that. You know, so I think just growing to a point of understanding that that served you in that season, but now I'm being obedient to this season and what God, or you know, is telling me now. And being obedient doesn't always mean it's going to be easy, but it's necessary for you to move to the next step. Otherwise, you'll keep coming back to the same cycle, which is where I'm finding myself. Like, I thought I could skip this phase of letting go because, you know, these are people I love and I care about, and I think I could. I used to actually have this whole thing of wanting to change people. Like, for real. Like, I thought that I could change people and help people become, even in relationships. Like, I really thought I could. Like, my friends used to call me Mrs. Change Me. Because I wanted to change, like, you know, I would see, like, I'd pick the person that has, like, flaws. Like, no, because I want to show you how you can, like, I'm like, okay, all right, Casey, that's, you're not Jesus. So, I'm not there anymore. So, I don't know, what was the question?
What have you learned about change?
What have I learned about change?
Change
that,
is hard.
That it's hard.
And it has to come from within.
Yeah.
It's very hard from external forces.
Yeah.
I think I also learn that all the time. Yeah. And my dad keeps on telling me, stop trying to change people.
Yeah.
It starts with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the only thing that's consistent. Like, there's a time I posted that, like, in maybe 2018 or something on my socials. And I was like, one thing that I know for sure is that change is the only thing that's consistent. So it's like inevitable for people to change. But I think one thing I'm learning is, like, focus on you first. Stop trying to bring everybody up with you at the same time that you're bringing yourself up, because you're just adding more weight to your climb up. It's like, get there first, put the anchor, so that by the time you're going to bring others up, you know you're secure in where you are.
Yeah.
Because I found myself really, like, doing that. There's a time, like, what was it? Like, when I first started my journey, when I first went to the health and life coaching thing, like, I started, like, a mastermind group. I had a mastermind group of like 4 people, and the idea was like for it to be like based on accountability and what, and like just sharing some of the things that I'm learning. But I found that like it worked for me in that season, but if I'm to really look at it, it's like I think, and hence why I kind of like stopped being as vocal on social media, is because I'm like, let me figure out some things within me first before I start trying to like be a teacher, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
that's interesting. You really mentioned attachments in this conversation. And the other day you told me I'm too attached to being my old self.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You know?
What does that mean? What does being attached to being your like old self mean?
Yeah. Or what did you mean by that?
I meant that, like I said, I think what I'm learning again is that...
Or was that you trying to change me?
No, it's me.
Nah,
like,
I'm joking.
Hey, maybe I need to not to tell you things. But I think that sometimes we hold on to parts of ourselves that we know because it's comfortable, and we give ourselves all of these reasons and explanations as to why we are certain ways and why this is who we define ourselves to be, that we don't allow ourselves to like leave that box or bubble that we've created for ourselves. Like, no, this is Casey, and Casey is you know. And like something that a friend of mine told me is that you cannot get new feelings, emotions, or thoughts. Or like, you cannot leave or elevate to a new space if you're still holding on to this. Like, the only way for you to get and receive is when your arms are open, not when you're holding on. You cannot receive when your hands are closed. Your hands have to be free. So meaning you have to disattach from anything that you think that you are. Like, this morning I was doing a meditation that's just like centered around like, I am Casey Warukira, not I am my father's daughter, not I am a student, or I am an entrepreneur. I am, I just am. And when I do that, I allow myself to be whatever God has called me to be in that moment. And so that's what I mean. It's like, I think navigating life every day with open arms and letting go of the identities that you have attached yourself to, maybe because of past experiences or because of what has made you feel safe in the past, and allowing yourself to be open to what is necessary for you to be who you're called to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And you know, it's very crazy because you're like the second person who said that, and they gave the same thing. You can't catch anything
with your hands
closed. Your hands closed. Shout out Ahmed Farah.
Yeah.
I've probably known him since year one. And the other day he came. Actually, the other day he came to my house and he's like, "Oh, he was look. I think he was looking for something." Mm. Then I told him just go to that drawer. So I think he opened the wrong drawer. I can't remember exactly what happened, but he found like an album I had of like one of my exes. Yeah, like I don't know. I've never thrown it away. And then he's like, "Bro, are you single?" I'm like, "Yeah, why?" He's like, "You see, this is why you've fucking never let go of this thing." Mm. And that's why you can probably never catch anything else. And I'm like, yo, that was such an interesting way to look at it. You know, because I don't know, like, it was very interesting to look at it. But I also feel like I also hold on to so many parts of myself. I think now when two people tell you something, there's something there to learn about.
But it's also having grace. I think that's the other thing about love, is like you can have grace for yourself. And I think I'm very big on like understanding why. Like my question ever since I can remember has always been why. Why? Like, because I feel like when you understand why, then it's easier to navigate. You don't get hurt because it's like, oh, okay, I get why I'm like that. And it's easier for you to work through it because you're like, okay, I'm like for me, like I just said, with my, like, attachment to friends especially, it's like, oh, it's because you were alone for most of your life. So, like, that meant a lot to you at that phase in your life, you know? And it's like, understanding that. So I think it's normal and it's natural and we all go through it, but you know, we just gotta be free. And even in your house, in your space, I'm working on it, but I tend to hoard a lot of things and like hold on to a lot of things because like I've given them meaning.
Yeah,
they don't really, like, it's just a thing, but I've given it a meaning, and that meaning is so deep that like I cannot let it go, you know? So it's like there was another part of my yoga thing that I was doing, like letting go and like clearing your space also plays a really big role in like your inner world, because your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. So yeah,
that's interesting. And you mentioned that sometimes you have coaches, mentors, or people around you that influence you in a positive way. How has that been? I still feel like there's been a lack of that uptake in Kenya especially, but how's that been for you, and what can you advise people out there?
What do you mean, like a lack of that uptake?
Like, I see people here barely have like coaches or mentors or what, but I see it's something that's very common, like in the States.
What can I say? Funny enough, like I started by, when I decided to like take the journey that I took in, like, you know, navigating life how I'm navigating it now, I started by reading books. Like in high school, I never used to read. I hated reading. Like I hated it. I used to be that guy that like I hide behind the book to sleep because I just didn't enjoy reading. And then I think I realized when I was in college that I did not like reading. I just didn't like reading. I'm not a fantasy person. No. I like to read personal development books. I like to read things that are adding value to my life. And so when I started, like the first book I read was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Then the second book I read was Think and Grow Rich. And then As a Man Thinketh, like, and then so on and so forth. But, and those became my mentors. Like I'd go on, like I would go on YouTube and I'd just listen to what they say and I'd journal and I'd write about it. I don't think you have to have a physical mentor for you to like call somebody your mentor. A mentor is just somebody that you learn from, you know, on a consistent basis. And so I think, and then they also say, like, I think with the physical mentors, they say when the student is ready, the teacher will come. So you have to be ready to receive. And like one of my mentors tells me about this thing called your teachability index. If you think you know, why do you need somebody in your life to show you? So I think you have to like get to a place of knowing that you know nothing and like really surrendering to the fact that like I just don't know. And I think when you get to that place, you find people that will come into your life that will then be open to sharing things with you. Because that's how it's happened. Like, my physical mentors are not people I've gone to look for. I don't even, like, it's just been organic ways that I've run to somebody. And, you know, it's just happened that way. I haven't really gone to look for a mentor. I don't think I ever have.
Well, that's interesting.
Besides the ones online.
That's interesting. Yeah. And, you know, on this podcast, we're really passionate about mental health. So how do you stay mentally fit, or how do you go through your bad days, or what do you do to have more good days than bad days?
I think I'm very intentional with how I start my days and how I end my days, because I think I realize that God gave us the power to be creators of our reality.
Yeah,
you know, and I don't think that I'm a victim of life. I think that I am a victor of life, and I am a creator, co-creator with God of life. So the role that I play is like just not just walking into the day and like and letting the wind take me where the wind will take me. Like I start my day with anchoring myself in the ground where I want to be. So like meditation for me is a really, really big thing. So I think I just started my meditation journey, I think in like 2019 is when I started, you know, getting into that. So meditation is a really big thing for me. Journaling is a really big thing for me. Yoga is a big thing for me, but that's more so for my, because I, when I start my day, I start it with like taking care of my mind, my body, and my spirit. So like meaning with my mind is like the meditation, the silence, and the journaling. And then with the body is like doing something physical, whether it's yoga or going to the gym. And then, you know, or spirit, that's where the meditation comes into, and like the journaling and stuff. So it's like just, I think, paying attention to that. And also, like I said, when you're your friend, you like, if somebody came into this room, I'm your friend, right? If somebody came into this room and started telling me, okay, so you're useless, or you're stupid, or you're this, you'd be like, yo, like, you know? Sure. And I think that I'm that for me, and I'm with your inner thoughts, because sometimes we are our worst enemies because of how we talk to ourselves, and we don't catch it. Sure. Like, you find yourself telling yourself, yo, you're so stupid, what the fuck, why did you? But it's like catching yourself when you do those things and correcting it and being like, no. You know, so I think being aware of your self-talk and learning to shift the negative into positive and giving yourself grace and allowing yourself to, like, if I have a bad day, like, I am very good at, like, blocking the world. Living in my verbal. I'm very good at that. Like, just because I need time to be with me. I need time to connect with God. I need time to be with me, because I'm not fit to be with anybody else or to be around anybody else. Like, it's, I need to recharge. Like, when your phone is plugged into the socket, it needs to get that energy from where it's getting and let it charge until it's full. But we have a tendency of using it while it's still charging, so we never let it get full. And I think that's a metaphor. Hey, that was deep. That's a metaphor for ourselves. Like, we charge, but yet we still engage. And it's like, yeah, we don't give ourselves time to, like,
charge.
Let the battery get full. So yeah, and then nature, I told you, grounding, like literally like connecting with touching plants, and like it sounds crazy, but I don't know why it sounds crazy. As Africans, this is what our ancestors used to do. It's just that we disconnected from that, and now we think it's some white people hippie thing. But if you know yourself and you know your people, you realize that we knew this before they started doing it. In fact, we taught them this. So it's like reconnect to who we are, is what I would say. Because the answers are there. Like depression, our ancestors, depression. Do you ever think about that? Why?
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as we come to the end of this podcast, I don't know, before actually asking my last question, is there anything else you'd want to share? Is there anything that you're inspired to say? Is there anything that I would have missed out to ask?
Nothing that comes to mind.
Okay.
But, well, actually, no, as I say that, something does come to mind. But I think I'd like to say, I'd like to encourage everybody that's, like, watching and listening to, like, really, like, build a relationship with yourself. I know it can be scary because we know the depths of ourselves. You know the darkest parts of yourself. You know the weirdest parts of yourself. You know the cringiest parts of yourself. So, like, sometimes it's hard to, like, really like build a relationship with yourself, because you know, most people don't know that side of you. And I would really, really, really encourage you to, like, just begin. Even if you don't know where to begin, just start somewhere with building a relationship with yourself and seek living your purpose rather than, like, just existing. Like, if there's anything I would say is that. And, like, know that you won already. Like, all the sperm cells that were competing before you to get here, my friend, you're already a winner. Like, you're already here. Like, that in itself is, like, you know, as you say, Just to Kick It is a blessing. We already won the battle. Like, I will go and research what happens when life is forming. Like, the way that my sperm cells compete with each other before, like, it connects. Like, you are that sperm cell that won. That is you. Like, we won. And, like, there's no need for you to be a photocopy of somebody else. Like, walk in your purpose. It may be weird, but you don't know how many lives you're touching. And this is also for me that I'm realizing that for myself. Like, you know, because I'm me and I'm weird and I have my things. But, like, that's who I was put here to be. And learning to really be comfortable with that. I think that's what I would encourage you guys to do. Just be yourself. Be yourself and love yourself. And be careful with how you speak with yourself. I think sometimes people define themselves with such heavy words. Like, this is something that has touched me because I've realized a big thing, mental health. A lot of people have identified themselves with depression. And it's like, you can never change your identity if that's who you have defined yourself to be. You cannot be depressed and be happy at the same time. So it's like, how, and the words that you say after "I am" are so powerful. So just be intentional with how you speak to yourself and what you say after "I am" and just being yourself and just live life, have fun, and be you.
I think that's even taking the last question away, because I was going to ask you if there's one message or one takeaway you'd like them to know from the conversation we've had, what would it be?
I just did it.
You see, exactly. Yeah. For those who are tuning in from home, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Just to Kick It is a Blessing. We appreciate you. We love you. And no matter what you're going through, no matter where you are, remember, Just to Kick It is a Blessing. See you next week. Goodbye.